Let's have a word of prayer, if we could, please. Grant us your Spirit, O God, that we may rightly understand and truly live your word of truth. Open our hearts to love as you have loved. Set us free from private distractions and selfish pride, that we may receive the promise of your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, and you can find that in your pew Bible on page 1632. So let's hear these words from Luke. As he approached Jerusalem, that's Jesus, and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Be to God. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Oh God, we believe you to be with us. If you are with us, nothing else matters. Help us to faithfully approach your word this day with openness of heart and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the passage that Dick read for us today takes place right after Jesus had started the procession into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday. After the people had been shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and there's coats all over the ground, and Jesus is riding on a donkey. And then, after all of this excitement, Jesus does something that he only does twice in all of the Gospels. Luke tells us that as Jesus saw the city, he wept over it. The only other time that Jesus weeps is in the Gospel of John after he witnesses the tears of Mary and the other women at Lazarus' tomb. Now, I want to be clear here that the Gospel writers chose their words very carefully. Jesus didn't cry. Jesus didn't sob. Jesus wept. Now, in English, those words at times could be interchangeable, used interchangeably for the most part. Maybe you say somebody is weeping if, like, they're really bawling their eyes, like, "Oh my gosh, that person's weeping." Okay, gotcha. But in the Greek, the word for weeping carries with it a more specific meaning than just leaking tears from your eyes. It also means to mourn, to lament, the kind of crying that we do when we are feeling deep pain or deep loss or longing. I cry when I take Henry to see Smurfs The Lost Village, and at the first half of the movie, I'm losing my mind. I cry. But I weep when I feel the deep sorrow of losing someone close to me. I weep when I experience disappointment in my career or my life. Weeping carries with it deep, complex emotions of lost love and grief. So when Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, he's feeling a deep pain for a city that he loves. Now, what is causing this deep pain? Jerusalem and its leadership have rejected God's offer. of peace. Choosing to side with Rome instead of God, the Pharisees are terrified of what Rome will do. So they miss peace right in front of their eyes. They ignore the real peace in favor of Rome's Pax Romana, the manufactured peace that they offer that was not going to last. But the Pharisees didn't know that. And their decision will end up having serious consequences for Jerusalem, as it will, a couple decades later, will be overrun by the same Roman leaders who were promising them peace forever. Jesus weeps for the city because they have chosen easy solutions over real ones, trusting the power of force over the power of love. And they will suffer more of it, more because of it. Jesus feels that intense pain and deep anger within his soul for the city that he loves, a city where God is supposed to be at its center and yet has lost its way. So when we as citizens of this county and this city look around here, where are the places that we find ourselves weeping? Where are the places or things that cause us to feel that deep sorrow and that grief? Maybe it's the condition of our downtown. Maybe it's the opiate epidemic. Maybe it's the generational effects of poverty or the lack of economy that works for more of our neighbors that causes our hearts to hurt. But when you truly take it in, when you realize the effects that each of these things have had on our community, and you truly take it in, I think you would probably never stop crying. I think some of y'all that work in the food pantry know that pain, see that every time you work there. And our natural inclination, I think, for all of us to be functional human beings is to put up barriers. Figure out how to not take all of that in all the time, because if we truly recognized it, it would just destroy us and we would feel helpless in the midst of it. So some of us get angry. Some of us use that anger as a source of motivation to help change things. Maybe you're like Kendra, you run for city council, right? You get angry, or maybe you get angry and you say, I'm going to volunteer my time to serve so that I don't feel this feeling anymore. Some of us also decide to retreat from it. So instead of engaging it at all, we choose to stay away from it, isolate ourselves, stay within our tight circle of family and friends, and seek solace away from any problems that this community might face. And still others yearn for justice, advocating for harsher punishments, helping to motivate the citizens to get their act together and fly straight. Yet Jesus here is clear that any attempt at peace that we are going to seek, that is going to last, that is going to be a real solution, that must be grounded in the love of Jesus Christ. And any attempt to seek peace that's not grounded in that love will eventually fail us. Any solution to our problems not built around love is destined to cause us more pain. And these motivations may work for a while, but eventually, just like the Roman peace, consequences will catch up with us. For example, I was talking with someone, a group of folks, about the drug problem here in this county. And after talking with them, a person pulled me aside and said that the answer to our drug problems was to execute those who sell drugs and display their bodies in the streets for all to see. Now, besides the ironic similarity to how drug cartels treat their enemies, I couldn't fathom how this bettered our community, besides showing that we too are capable of the same violence and destruction that the drug dealers were seeking to bring to this community. I also didn't see love or compassion in this anywhere. And for me, it ended up being a feeling like a very surface level solution that lacked the understanding of the nature of addiction and those who sell drugs. And as long as there's demand, people are going to keep supplying it, no matter how many people you might kill. And that addiction doesn't care about anything but its next fix. And when I thought about that, I thought, oh, that's the solution to our problems? Can we find another way? Can we find a way rooted in the love of Jesus Christ? We as Christians and citizens of this community must reject surface-level solutions built on a sense of false peace. Any solutions we seek must be centered around the love we find in Jesus. So the question is, do we trust the peace of love, or do we trust in some other false peace? Are we willing to research the problems we're dealing with? See what other towns our size have done to combat the problems that we deal with and that other towns like ours deal with. And then advocate for better solutions, even if they are unpopular. Or do we just need more Band-Aids? I will say this. We spend an awful lot of time on a daily basis talking about federal politics and the president this and the president that, all the time. I'm going to tell you something. That a community that cares for one another, that is seeking to love their neighbor, that is seeking the welfare of their fellow citizens and the welfare of this city, there's nothing a president is going to do to stop that. Because we're living it out. We're living out the peace that Jesus Christ has offered us, just as he lamented over the peace that Jerusalem rejected. So we can sit here and complain about federal politics and the government this and the government that, but we have a responsibility to take care of our own, the people that are right here before our eyes. How do we do that? How do we work with our leaders to make that happen beyond just Band-Aids? So first, we need to lament. Just as Jesus did that day, lamented over the city. But you know something? He went into that city. He didn't just stand out there and cry about it. He said, we need to mourn. And now we need to be energized to go and reinvest ourselves back into the community so it doesn't stay that way. There are so many good folks around you. Use them to make some of these things happen. Organize. Read about the problems we face. I'm going to be sending out an email this week with book suggestions about reading about the problems that we face right here in Fayette County and Washington Courthouse. Read articles. There's an incredible amount of stuff out there. And people have solutions. They have opportunities. But we have to look into them. We have to learn about them. Then start asking your elected officials what plans they have in place to deal with these long-term issues. What are you doing to make a dent into this problem? But most of all, we need to be seeking solutions built around love. Not solutions and peace about retribution, anger, frustrations, but a peace built around love, because it is only there that we're going to find our real solution, the way out of this mess. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So it's time to double down. Don't isolate yourselves. Reinvest. Let's get to work. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.